Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio, coming to you from the OU Israel Center in Yerushalayim. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this week's show is for Parshat Ekev. It is now Yom Chamishi B'Shabbat Parshat Ekev. That's Thursday, the 20th of Menachem of the year 5765, also known as August 25th in the year 05. Let's begin, as we often do, almost always, with Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. And as I've said often in the past, I do not pre-record this reading. It's done fresh for each show, because it's a tefillah, a prayer to God, and I'm not going to put that on recording. And therefore, you, as you're listening to it, even if you're not listening exactly at the same time that I am saying these words, you're invited to say them along with me so that it becomes your tefillah, your prayer as well. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmorya Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imecha haslicha l'ma'an tivare. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro ho'cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai kim Adonai ha'chesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem viyotziyem mitzara lirvacha, umeafela laora, umishibud lageula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, vinomar amen. Before we get started with Parshat Ekev, let's hear from Amiran Devir. The track is called Ata Takum, or Ata Sokum. The words come from the Nusach Sfard version of Ein Kelokeinu. They might come from other places as well, but the last verse, or the last sentence, is Ata Takum, you God, arise, Uterachim Tzion, have mercy on Zion, ki eit lechenena, it is time already to comfort it and to show it kindness. Kivamo'ed, because the time has come. It's possible that this is based on the idea that we believe in the coming of Mashiach. V'afal pi sheyitmameya im kol zeh achakelo b'chol yom sheyavo. Even though he seems to tarry, I will wait for him whenever he comes. And we have this notion of there being an appointed time beyond which the Mashiach will not delay. What we have is the opportunity and the challenge and the ability to hasten the coming of the Mashiach. And I believe that the better way to do that is by Torah, mitzvot, Eretz Yisrael, meaning personal commitment to Torah and to live in Eretz Yisrael, as well as expending effort to one's the best of one's ability to help other people strengthen their commitment or make a commitment to both Torah and mitzvot, as well as to encourage Aliyah so that Eretz Yisrael comes into the equation as well. In fact, it's not a bad lead-in to the beginning of the Parsha, but we'll get there after Amiran Devir with Ata Takum, Ata Sokum.
Yeah.
Parshat Akev starts out with a deal by God to the people of Israel, a deal which does not come as a surprise. We've heard it before in different ways. We'll hear it again many times. But it follows the last pasuk in Va'etchanan, V'shamarta et ha-mitzvah ve'et ha-chukim ve'et ha-mishpatim. You shall preserve the mitzvah, the chukim and the statutes, the laws and the statutes, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom la'asotam, those that I command you this day to do them. V'haya ekev tishme'un, and if it will come to pass, or in the wake of your listening and following these rules, eta mishpatim ha'ela, ushmartem v'asitem otam, not just to preserve them, but to do them, v'shomar Hashem Elokecha lecha, then God will preserve and uphold to you et habrit ve'et hachesed asher nishba lavotecha, the covenant and the acts of kindness which he promised your ancestors. Let's make a comment first here. Et habrit ve'et hachesed. A brit is a covenant. It is a deal. This is what God says for us, and this is what he expects of us vis-a-vis him. That's the brit. It has plenty of strings attached. Ve'et ha-chesed, the kindness, means even if we don't uphold our part of the brit, we still ask God and expect of God the chesed which he has promised our ancestors and us. It's a good pair of concepts to keep in mind. The brit and the chesed. Va'ahevecha uverachecha v'hirbecha. I will love you, says God. I will bless you and I will cause you to proliferate. Uverach pri v'tnecha ufri admatecha. And I will bless the fruit of your womb, as well as the fruit of your ground, digancha, your grain, v'tiroshcha, your grape yield, v'yitzharecha, your olive yield, shigar alafecha, v'ashterot sonecha, both in the plant world as well as in the animal world, where al ha'adama asher nishba lavotecha la teitlach, on the land which God promised. This, in essence, is saying, keep the mitzvot, not in a climate-controlled environment in Chutz La'aretz, but do it al ha'adama, on the land which God promised to give you, us. Baruch tehiyeh mikol ha'amim, you will be blessed above all nations, lo yehiyeh v'cha akor, va'akara uvivhemtecha. You will not have barren, neither people nor animals. They will proliferate properly and well. The idea that these brachot apply when we live in Eretz Yisrael, and not necessarily is this considered a bracha for Jewish communities elsewhere, should not be missed. This is a promise, lahavdil, and just to give it as an analogy, occasionally I come across an offer on the web, and I get very excited about the offer. It's a good deal, a good price, a good bargain, whatever. And then I see in small print, valid for residents of the United States, contiguous 48 states only. They don't ship to Alaska and Hawaii, and they certainly don't ship here to Israel. So you get a little deflated. You are looking forward to making this order, but it's only doable if you live in the United States. They don't ship internationally. Just as an analogy, I don't mean to compare anything here, but you have a beautiful promise, V'haya ekev tishma'un, if and when you fulfill the commitment to Torah and to God, then He will preserve you both on a brit level and even on a chesed level, and will love you and bless you and bless your offspring and bless you as a nation, and will take away all kind of bad things from you, and will give the bad stuff only to your enemies, and you will be able to prevail on an international basis as well. Again, let me sum it up. Promises of good things if we keep Torah and mitzvot, and if we keep Torah and mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. There is no implied promise, sorry to say, for reward, not in this particular context, for keeping Torah and mitzvot elsewhere. Now that's a very Eretz Yisrael religious Zionist kind of way of looking at these psukim, but that's okay, because that's what I am. And that's what we are. Again, we find a reminder that there's a daunting task or series of tasks ahead in the conquest of Eretz Yisrael from its current inhabitants, but one should not be afraid, neither individuals nor the Jewish people as a nation, because God has already demonstrated to us what happened in Mitzrayim and what happened with other nations that we encountered in the Midbar, and we should not be afraid. Everything will go fine if we keep our perspectives clear. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavecha hayom, all that which I command you this day, tishmerun la'asot. Again that phrase, preserve it, to do it. On that note, a digression. I remember in Forest Hills, where I used to live a long time ago, there was a Reform temple on Grand Central Parkway on the side. And I was told, well, first I'll tell you the part that I actually saw. Sukkot, there was a beautiful structure on the front lawn of this temple. The schach was lush. The decorations were beautiful. It wasn't a sukkah. It had no walls. What they were doing was preserving a mitzvah, but not la'asot, not to do it. Come if you want to see, and we'll take away the walls so that you can see it even from the highway, what a sukkah looks like. You shouldn't forget what it looks like. I was told that in their lobby there was a beautiful display case, glass enclosed, inside lighting, very attractive, with a beautiful set of arba minim, lulav etrog hadasim min haravot. Nobody used that to fulfill the mitzvah. The mitzvah is ulkachtem lachem, you shall take for yourself, unto yourself, meaning physically pick it up. They didn't do that. They did tishmerun, but not la'asot. This overemphasized time and time again that the mitzvot are to preserve in order to do them. For what purpose, says this pasuk, the first pasuk in Perek Chet, lema'an tichyun urvitem, so that you will live and multiply, uvatem virishtem et ha'aretz, asher nishba Hashem lavoteichem, to come and to settle the land which God promised your ancestors. And Moshe Rabbeinu continues to remember what happened in the Midbar, all of the miracles that they were privilege to receive. And then again, Vishamarta et mitzvot Hashem Elokecha, preserve the mitzvot of God, lalechet bidrachav ulyira oto, to follow in his ways and to revere him. Why? Ki Adonai Elohecha meviacha el eretz tova, eretz nachalei mayim ayanot utahomot yotzeim babika uvahar. For God is bringing you to a good land, a land with streams and springs in the mountains and the valleys, eretz chita usora, a land of wheat and barley, vegefen uteina verimon, and grapes, figs, and pomegranates, eretz zeit shemen, oil, olives, olives that give oil, udvash, the honey that comes from dates. This is the famous verse that contains the seven species that are used to describe the land of Israel, and they have a special status in Jewish law and tradition because of that. Eretz asher lo v'miskenut tochal balechem, a land which you will not have to ration out the bread, there'll be abundant food. Lo techsar kolba, you will not lack for anything. Eretz asher avoneha varzel, a land whose stones have iron. Umei harereha tachtsov nechoshet, and from its hills you will mine or quarry copper. V'achalta v'savata, uveirachta et Adonai Elohecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. Lot to be said here. Let's see what we could accomplish. I want to share with you a question which I have in the written hard copies of Torah Tidbits as well. It's a question that I saw in a book that I was reading earlier this week. I liked the question very much. I was not at all satisfied with the answer, and therefore I kept looking for answers. Let me present to you the question. I think it's a good one. You have a sequence here which we can say among these psukim that I just read, these verses, we have a food section, a land of wheat and barley and grapes and date and figs and pomegranates and olives and dates. Then a land that you will not eat bread b'miskenut, in a poor way but in a good way. And then the next pasuk, you will eat and be satisfied and bless God. That's the famous command to say Birkat HaMazon, the grace after meals, the after bracha for a full satisfying meal. Stuck somewhere in this food section is Eretz Asher Avoneha Varzel Umi Harereha Tachtsov Nechoshet, a land where you have iron in the stones and you can quarry copper. Aside from that being a description of the land, what's it doing between the seven species, bread, and the requirement of eating, being satisfied, and benching? That's the question. I like the question. One answer that I saw after the one that didn't satisfy me at all was an answer that satisfied me more than a little, and that was that iron and copper represent the vessels, the pots and pans, the silverware, the cutlery rather, the plates and drinking cups that go along with the food, the wine, the oil, and everything else that comes. In other words, a full satisfying meal is not just the food, but it's the dishes on which you eat and the glasses from which you drink and the cutlery that you use, and that adds to this feeling of v'yachalta v'savata. So if you want to say that that's a more complete picture of being satisfied from eating, then it's mentioned as well. Not bad, not bad. I wanted more. And my eldest daughter gave me more, because when I shared the question with her, She brushed it off immediately with the following comment, upon which I will elaborate. And that is that Birkat HaMazon, the after-meal blessing, is not just for food. It is for the land. In fact, that's what it says. V'achalta v'savata. That's where it stops. You will eat and be satisfied. That's part of the promise. Uveirachta et Hashem Elokecha, you shall bless God al ha'oretz hatova asher natan lach, for the good land which he has given you. That summarizes what was mentioned not just in the psukim with the food, but the one even before that. In fact, the term is the same. Ki Hashem Elokecha miviacha el eretz tova. God is bringing you to a good land. Last bracha, last part of it. You will bless God for the good land which he is giving you. So that balances very well. And sure enough, if you pay attention to Birkat HaMazon, you will find that the first paragraph, the first bracha, the first blessing, Hazon et HaKol, would be sufficient if the purpose of Birkat HaMazon were to thank God for the food. Because that first blessing says it all. God sustains all living creatures, and we acknowledge him as such. What makes Birkat HaMazon more than that is the continuation. The second bracha, Nodelecha Hashem Elokeinu, we acknowledge and thank you, God, for the land of Eretz Yisrael. Al Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava, Shehinchalta Lavoteinu, that you gave as an inheritance to our ancestors and a heritage to us throughout the generations. That is part of the mitzvah. It does not end when you say Hazon et HaKol, and on a practical level, people who only say the first bracha are sorely missing the point of this very special mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is that eating and being satisfied with not just the physical needs, but with everything that Eretz Yisrael is, that is what should prompt a person to thank God and to bless him for the land which he has given us. Now, there's a very sharp question here, and that is, what is the role of Birkat HaMazon when you're in Chutz La'aretz, when you're not in the land of Israel? Of course, but the rule is, you say a full Birkat HaMazon, not only thanking God for the food, but thanking him for the land, because the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, is a gift to all of the Jewish people throughout the generations, wherever they happen to live. Let me make a digression here, and I hope I'll get back on track, but it's an important digression. There was a discussion that came up among people the last couple of days of what happens when an entire settlement, northern Samaria or someplace in the Gaza Strip, made a decision to leave at the government's request and did so a certain number of days before the deadline, so that the Yishuv was totally free of all the Jews that lived there for the last X number of years. Is there still room in such a Yishuv for other Jews to come, as the government would call them, troublemakers, for Jews to come and occupy, so to speak, that Yishuv and be forcibly removed from it, if that's what the government insists on doing? Or do we say, what's it your business here? Everybody that lived here is already out. See, the thing in Neve Dekalim and Kfar Darom and other places in Gush Katif and the Gaza Strip, you had a local population, many or most of whom decided they're waiting until they'll be forcibly removed. And you had hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of other people who joined to swell their ranks. Do you need some of the locals? Or can you just say, locals, you all left, we're here to carry on the fight? And my answer is, even though it was debated among people, my answer is that we're not talking only about the people that lived in particular settlement X, Y, or Z. We are talking about a heritage to the entire Jewish people, and not only the Jewish people that are alive today, but the Jewish people who have lived since the Torah was given, actually since the time of the Avot, and the Jews who will live from today, tomorrow, in perpetuity. This land is not ours in a narrow sense. It belongs to the Jewish people, the descendants, the actual and spiritual heirs of Avraham Avinu, Sarah Imenu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rivka, Rachel and Leah, throughout all generations for all times. This is why there's a quote that's making the rounds now, that no one, no Jew as an individual or group of Jews or government of the state of Israel ever has the right to give parts of Eretz Yisrael into the hands of others, especially our sworn enemies. This is not something that a Knesset vote can do, or even a national referendum, because the vote would have to be taken of every single Jew who ever lived, who lives anywhere, and who will ever live, meaning it can't be done. So yes, giving away a yeshuv or an area that contained a yeshuv whose total population had already vacated does not change the fact that a terrible, terrible thing is being done. And everybody should protest that, regardless of where you live. And that means Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, and that means Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz. I do not hold that you want to have a say in what goes on here, you have to live here. I believe you have to live here. But if temporarily you don't, you still, if you're Jewish, have a say in what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly on this terrible, terrible thing of giving parts of Eretz Yisrael into the hands of our sworn enemy. Every Jew should raise his voice in objection to what happened and what's continuing to happen, and unfortunately what's going to continue even more. Now, I said we have to go back on track. Not so easy. But let's do it. We were talking about being able to bless God for the food and the land, and that's appropriate for a Jew to say wherever he is. On the other hand, it never hit me, or it didn't often hit me before I came in Aliyah. I guess that was a protective, self-preservation kind of thing, that there was something sorely lacking in saying to God not only Hazon et Hakol, but also saying to him, thank you for the land, and having him say back to me, so where do you live? What are you thanking me for the land of Israel, and you don't live there? You gotta do it. But I'll tell you the truth, I certainly feel comfortable saying Al Ha'aretz V'Al Hamazon when I live here. That's a good feeling. My mind is wandering now, but it's staying within the topic. The fact that in Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, also known as Al Hamichya, even though it doesn't only go for grain, but it goes for the fruits of Shivat Aminim and for wine, when a person, let's say, standard scenario, you make Havdalah on Le'amotzoi Shabbat with a cup of wine, and you drink the whole cup, you have to say an after bracha, provided the drinking was in one or two straight quaffs. But that's not the issue we're discussing. You say an after bracha. If the wine is from Eretz Yisrael, the bracha ends with Al Ha'aretz V'Al Pri Gafnah, for the land I acknowledge God, blessed are you, God, for the land and the fruit of her vine. If it's wine from outside of Eretz Yisrael, then it's al ha'aretz va'al pri ha'gefen, not gafna. Same thing with the fruit. Al ha'aretz va'al peiroteha, not va'al ha'peirot. In other words, when it's not the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, you're acknowledging God for the land and for fruit. But when it's Eretz Yisrael fruit, then you're acknowledging God for the land and its fruit. And that's different. It's qualitatively different. The point, though, is that Pasuk says, V'achalta v'savata, eat and be satisfied, uverachta et Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. And the accusatory question that should be in every Jew's mind among the Jews who do not live in Eretz Yisrael is why and what are you thanking God for, and how do you answer him kivyachol, so to speak, when he says to you, it's nice that you said thank you, but why aren't you there? It's like, oh, I want to thank you for that beautiful gift you gave me, the pen which had the red ink and the blue ink and the black ink and a pencil tip, and it was wonderful. Thank you very much. Do you use it? Do you write with it? No, I lost it. I don't have it. I'm not near it. There's something a little bit missing in that kind of thank you. When Baruch Hashem, you live in Eretz Yisrael, then every benching becomes not just an acknowledgement of God for the food, but for Torah and mitzvot, which of course is in Chutz La'aretz also, Torah and mitzvot and the land, which again I say is in Chutz La'aretz as well, but it's long distance. Here, as they say, it's a local call. Let's hear from Amiran Devir again, from his double album. This is a stretch, but it's sort of from Birkat HaMazon, which we've been talking about. Of course, it's a pasuk that's borrowed for the last part of Birkat HaMazon, Baruch HaGever. It's a toe-tapper and even gyration causer, very popular at weddings and bar mitzvot and other smachot. And we need a little bit of this mood in an otherwise bleak period of time based on what's going on here. And the words are certainly not inappropriate when we say, Baruch HaGever, blessed is the person who trusts in God and relies on God, and God is his security. I think that's an important message for these times. So the combination of it being from Birkat HaMazon, which is turning out to be the main focus of this issue of Torah Tidbits, and the fact that we need a little bit of pep, and you can add your own reasons for it, one way or the other. Baruch HaGever.
Bye.
Amiran Devere with Baruch HaGever. If we have time, we'll also play another part of Birkat HaMazon, totally different mood, and that is Rachem. We've played it before, but it's a beautiful song and certainly appropriate, invoking God's mercy for his people. But that's only if we have time. So let's continue. I don't know if we really came to a stopping point, but I think we did on that particular part. I want to raise another issue, an interesting dispute between Rambam Maimonides and Ramban Nachmanides about the existence of the mitzvah, the command in the Torah to pray. Simply put, Rambam Maimonides counts as one of the 613 mitzvot the command to pray daily. Not how often, not what to say, nor when to say it. Those are all, let's call them, rabbinic components, rabbinic details of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of praying each day. But Rambam says that essentially the command to pray is from the Torah. Ramban says it's not. And even Rambam, let's go back to him for a second, you don't find a thou shalt pray kind of command, then there wouldn't be any ambiguity to it. You have, and to serve God, or you shall serve God with all your heart, and what is service of the heart, that's prayer. Ramban says the same thing, but doesn't count it as a mitzvah. He sort of says the wording of serving God with all your heart inspired the sages to command us to pray. But that's not the same thing as the Torah commanding us. So first I'd like to say, whichever way you look at it, the fact that you do not have a straight command of thou shalt pray, but it is taught to us in the context of service of the heart is very significant. Because prayer is one of the things that going through the motions alone is not going to cut it. There are other mitzvot. We say mitzvot don't require kavana. That means if you take a lulav and an etrog on Sukkot and you wave them around, but you didn't have the proper kavana, l'shem mitzvah, etc., etc., you still might get away with having fulfilled the mitzvah even though it didn't have kavana. But that's not going to work with davening. Because prayer is essentially service of the heart. And service of the heart means not lip service. although lip service is important, but that's another topic. But it means you have to have the feeling in the heart. And if you want to go between the Rambam and Ramban, you could say Ramban says the whole thing is inspired by the Torah. We have episodes of the Avot and Imahot praying, and we grow to understand and to feel that prayer is an essential aspect of Judaism. But maybe that's why we don't need a direct command from the Torah. It's the kind of thing that's available, and we have role models to follow, but essentially prayer comes from us. And it doesn't need to be commanded. That would be the Ramban's side of the dispute. One way or the other, we have a rigorous set of guidelines by our sages, and one is supposed to stick to that, not exclusively, meaning that there was never a turning off, or should never have been a turning off of spontaneous prayer, but it is in addition to the required three times a day specific texts, etc., etc. And true, that takes a certain spontaneity out of the experience, but there is ample room to talk to God and to pray from your heart while or within the context of a regular prayer as required by halacha. You know what? There's a lot more to say, but I'm not going to say it now. I'll hold it for another time. For now, let's the mood be set by Rachem, also from Birkat HaMazon, beginning of the third bracha, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking God for mercy on his people, on his city, on his house. This particular recording of Rachem is by Mordechai Ben David on an album called Kumsitz that was recorded in Yerushalayim in the Old City facing the Kotel. It's a beautiful album. It also is available in CD-ROM or DVD or both, but audio as well. And just a wonderful experience, musical experience. Here it fits the Birkat HaMazon that we've been talking about. It fits asking God for mercy because we seem to be ready for a nice dose of that. And I'll let the song end the show. So let me say now, Shabbat Shalom and Lehishtameah. Yeah.
Rachim, 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 Rachim.